today, in Russia and perhaps other places, it's Janmashtami. For us here, yesterday was Janmashtami. And when I was out in Alachua, it was a very interesting experience for me this year. Besides the fact that it rains most of the time because it's the rainy season here, there were other things which I observed which were, I think, essential for all of us to understand. We have, over the years, talked about the defects of ideology, the defects of its negative effect on people, on the traumatic experiences that people can undergo, and its inability to be concerned with the individual. And we have discussed this in relationship to our experiences in the groups that we were in, but actually these experiences are parallel to many of the experiences of people in other situations, other groups or associations. Now, that is not necessarily a complete discussion. It is a discussion that's going on from one side, from the point of view of those who have had difficulties. And it does not take into account the complete picture. So today I want to bring the complete picture into focus, if I can. The important situation to understand is every group of people has an ideology. An ideology in the sense that they have beliefs that run their lives and their actions, their relationships, everything they do is based on these beliefs. You cannot avoid having beliefs. You cannot avoid having things which you accept as axiomatic, fundamental truths in your life. Therefore, nobody can avoid an ideology. Even those who live alone in the forest or in the mountains, that is their ideology. They have some belief system which guides their actions. Now, our discussions about our experiences in the past have mainly focused on the negative aspects of what we have gone through and how to heal those aspects which have caused us trauma. How to establish a proper view of ourselves, a proper mode of living, a proper understanding that will assist us to grow in the best way we can. The interesting thing about people is that they accept, as a rule, they accept principles, they accept ideals, they accept beliefs, and don't really keep that process of acceptance or what they have accepted as a conscious factor in their lives. It's just something which makes them say, of course, that's the way it is. For example, if you were in another part of the world where, for example, in Africa, where women are systematically beaten and exploited or abused, and someone were to say, do you believe in that? They would go, of course, of course. We don't question it. Those things which are accepted axiomatically, those things which when somebody asks you about it, you reply, of course. This is what your belief system is. It is something which is obvious to you, something which you think is so clear that it could never possibly, or you wouldn't even think of questioning it. Everybody has this kind of ideological foundation. Everybody. Whether they be doctors or lawyers, or teachers or religionists in a group or in a political party or parents or whatever. We all have this basic fundamental ideology which we accept totally. So ideology in and of itself is not bad. It's a mechanism by which we can make sense in our lives and simplify our lives so that we can do more meaningful things than redefine our lives constantly. Can you imagine waking up every morning and having to say, what shall I do today? Shall I go to work? Shall I make money? Do I believe in work? Do I believe in money? What kind of work? How much money? And for who anyway? And why? And the first person I meet and talk to, I start to question, well, should I tell the truth? Should I lie? Should I cheat this person? Should I love this person? Should I run away? Should I beat them in the nose? Who are they anyway? Who am I? What is going on? See, your belief system, what is your ideology, is a very important mechanism by which you make sanity in a life which can be very confusing. Because if you don't make sense like that, if you don't arrange things so that your life has some regulation to it in the sense of some things which are predictable, you can go quite crazy. Therefore, this business of regulating one's existence by having an ideology is very beneficial for all human beings. So the question is not whether or not the ideology is there. It's which one do you wish to have? And then the choices in life become less. You then try to find out what it is that you do believe in and what it is that you feel comfortable believing in. And that usually takes place in the later teens when one starts defining oneself very, very specifically in life. And when one actually completes the process of definition, one feels quite confident and starts to act and work to create the parts of his life which he feels are very significant for him or her. So when I was amongst thousands of people, all of them interested in spirituality to one extent or another, I was examining those aspects of this association which were very good. We already know those parts which are not very good, so there's no need to talk about them again. But those aspects which are very good are important to analyze and list even, because it's important we have these elements in our lives. You know, human beings as a species are social animals. They require society. They require personal interactions with others. And when these interactions are painful or difficult, one becomes very frustrated. And yet, when these interactions work, of course there'll always be some difficulty, but when they work generally, it's very enlivening. So yesterday I saw there was this beautiful temple room with absolutely gorgeous deities. I mean, the way they dressed those deities yesterday, the colors, the way they matched with the flowers and the dresses, it was absolutely 100% fabulous. And there were many booths around where people were doing all of the things that they do as a profession. People selling prasadam, somebody selling the books they made, somebody selling the art they made. Kamala was doing charts. Other people were doing other things. It was a little fair, and in the middle was a fire yajna, and there was a cow standing there, and it was kind of really nice. It was nice in that whole society of people There were no difficult discussions. Everything was very peaceful. When the ideology was not the center point, when conforming to a particular ideology was not a requirement, it was simply a place to come to and have some fun, it was very rewarding. It was a very rewarding experience. My parents were there and they had a great time. And this morning my father asked me, he said, "What was that celebration about anyway?" I said, "Well, it was Krishna's birthday." And he said, "Well, wish him happy birthday for me." And until it started raining all over them, they had a great time. Because that particular culture, as most ancient cultures, have things which are very interesting for people. In almost all of these cultures, there's a very well-developed and interesting music, art, food, temples, ways that people do things with their dance, or all of these cultural things which make a society so rich, they're there. And when people associate with each other in such an environment where they're all enjoying and focusing on the same kind of thing, they feel very good together. They come together, they talk about their problems, they talk about what they can do in life, they talk about their friends, they meet people they haven't seen in a long time. They just feel good about themselves by feeling good with others. Now that is all the good stuff right there. Now, when I've been doing this broadcasting thing now for about a year and a half, and for 7 years we've been associating there in our, shall we say, new environment with you there in Russia. So during this time I've had a lot of opportunities to think about what should be. Now, if your whole basis of society is a philosophical basis, you're going to have many difficulties. Just like yesterday, it was very pleasant because as far as I could see, there was really no philosophy. There was no insistence on a particular ideology. There was insistence on having a good time. And because of that, it was very acceptable. Now, if you were to include people from other religions, people from other sects who were disagreeing with you philosophically, or complete atheists, or anybody, so long as that fun spirit was continuing, nobody would mind anybody in that association. Because they would all have the same idea. We're having a good time, we're meeting nice people, everything is fine. After all, that's what they do when they go to a music concert. That's what they do when they go to a football game. The same kind of thing. But can you imagine in the music concert if somebody got up on the stage and said, "You must believe the same thing as the drummer, because if you believe something different than the drummer, you're going to have to either be totally quiet and not do anything except what the drummer leads you to do, or else you have to leave this concert." And or if the lead guitarist were to stand up and say, "Everybody in this theater has to believe that we are the best and the primary band in the world. Otherwise, we don't accept you as really a member of this audience." So when an ideology insists on a philosophical purity of opinion, and I don't mean purity in the absolute sense, I mean you have to think in a very singular fashion. without any dilution of that thought. It destroys to a certain extent, more or less, depending, the mood, the energy, the loving inclusiveness of the culture. Yet look at us. We, all of us who are listening to this broadcast or have listened to broadcasts or listened to the recording, we have a very similar way of seeing our own needs, a very similar way of trying to overcome our difficulties, a very similar way of seeing ourselves in relationship to the world, I mean, as far as the structure of it goes. Yet we differ in how we make money. We differ in what we do with it. We differ in where we live or how we live. We differ in what we do in the places we live. We differ in our relationships with others, how we relate with others. These things, we differ. We don't come up to people and immediately our mind is judging them on the basis of whether they drink coffee or have a beer or they have some bad habit or they have three girlfriends or they do something which is considered to be inappropriate according to some philosophy. Our standard, as far as I feel it, having associated with everybody, is we try to just see people as they are. We try to see the good in everybody. And we relate with people according to the compatibility that we naturally have with each other as spiritual beings. We don't wish to make these boxes that people have to fit within before we will relate with them. And yet we like to relate with people who have undergone similar kinds of experiences we have. We like even to relate with people who love to think of themselves as somehow connected to Radha and Krishna or Gaur Nitai. We like to be around people who have a mystical Eastern slant on life. We like to be inspired in becoming the best we can be as spiritual beings. We like to be inspired to connect and love with the divine, with the deities. We like good prasadam. We love great spiritual music when it's really nicely done. We like to be joyous together in our spiritual association whenever there's the opportunity, but we don't like to be forced to do it. We like to be invited into these spiritual associations and situations which make us feel in that usness, in that association which brings heart-to-heart spiritual energy and contact. So it's really an interesting kind of a contradiction. On one hand, you have people who really love the essence of spirituality and the people who also love it and yet are so unwilling to be part of a mechanism which depersonalizes the human being in the name of philosophy. So what is this group of us going to do? What is this group of us going to create which will somehow give us that taste of social interaction, of social identity without destroying our individuality or our requirement for maintaining ourselves with our integrity? Now, I have been thinking about this on and off for many years now, but ever since we started this broadcasting and we started this HariMedia.net with all of the discussions in the forums and all of the facilities available, it's really begun to hit me hard that something needs to be there, but I'm not sure what. The interesting thing about ideologies is that it's usually filled with a lot of words that don't translate into actions. It's usually filled with a lot of high philosophy, a lot of high-sounding words, but when it comes right down to human relationships, it all falls apart. So just creating an ideology of words or of concepts is not very useful. And so therefore we should move away from the term ideology and move into the term society, because society means a group of people who are together because they have some common interests. Now, society, of course, is something which is usually done in a local area where there's a community, the basis upon which everything is based in a social interaction in a larger sense is the community. Even more details, you have the individual. The individual is part of a family. The family is part of a community or an extended family. The community is part of a political structure, as in a town or whatever, and that's part of a larger country, which is part of the world, and so on. So as far as everybody all over the world goes, all of us who are listening and taking part of this, we are not fitting in with that category. We are not a family. We are not a community in that sense. We are not physically related. We are not living in the same area. We don't even all agree on the same philosophical points, so we're not at all a philosophical community. And the interesting thing is that even though we don't necessarily agree philosophically, we don't care, because that's not important to us that we have to agree. In fact, we value the opinion of others when it's different from ours. And instead of insisting that everybody think the way we think, we insist that everybody think the way they think. And we respect them because of their individuality, because of their differences. We respect and appreciate that because it brings spice, it brings taste into our lives. So we do have an association based on an ideology, but it's not one which you can stick together as a unified group who believes in the same thing, except the right of the individual to be what they are. So from that point of view, we might call ourselves the Society of Integrationists. So maybe we do have a worldwide association here, but it's not structured. And it probably never will be either, because as soon as there's a structure and there's a hierarchy, there's going to be somebody trying to be the big shot and somebody trying to exploit it economically, and you know the whole story. So our society of association is kind of very etheric. It's a sharing of a energy. It's a sharing of a point of view. It's a sharing of a very spiritual, integrative understanding of life. Well, that's pretty good. That's very nice. That's actually wonderful. And how do people physically get together who are in such a etheric society? Well, they get together like you're together right now. There's a group of you in St. Petersburg. There's a group of you in some Vardika's flat, and some people in Kamala Mullah's flat, and some people in Panchadara's flat that I can see here. And there's probably other people in other flats, other places, or houses, or, you know, you go out to the park or do whatever. You can have your association of people who share the same values, which are very highly evolved values. Because you will feel crushed in the association of those who insist that they are right and you are wrong. Now, there are groups like this already existing in the world, those who are of the theosophy schools of Madame Blavatsky, in whatever way they have expanded, have a similar kind of understanding. There are other groups also. I don't feel like making a long list. There are also groups of people who meet on the etheric planes because they can't find any other place where they can meet with such freedom and such flow of energetic exchange. But the problem with that is you can't eat good food and you don't get to have nice music that you can dance to or have fun with and all these other things that you can do when you're physically together with other people. Okay, so there's good and bad in everything. And I suppose all I'm trying to say here in this discussion is that society is a good thing. It just depends on how you define yourself within it and how others define themselves within it. For society is necessary and ideology is necessary for sanity. And it's a question of just making it in such a way that you feel good about it. But the most important question is, do you want such a thing? Do you want to have such a association or such a society or such a community in a slightly more formal fashion? Is this something that makes you feel positive? Does it resonate well with you? That's the question to be asked. Some people feel really good just having the capacity to walk into something that's already there and walking out of it again without any obligation or connection. That's what I liked about yesterday in Alachua. I came when I went. I left when I went. If I wanted to go, I go. If I don't want to go, I don't go. I have no obligations. I have nothing that I must do. Nothing I have to do. It's all what I wish to do while I'm there. That's also very nice. So, ultimately, everything depends on what we, the individuals, want. What we, the individuals, feel is important for us. Some people like living separate from others and having very little contact with others. Some people feel incomplete unless they can have a lot of contact with others. Some people like complete freedom in their spirituality. Others like being directed in their spirituality. Everybody's different. Everyone's needs and desires are different. Yet, I wanted to suggest that what we, as an amorphous group here, not defined, what we might feel would be beneficial for us would be more connection with a larger group of people, with more interaction socially. We might feel very good about that. But to ask that this is done from some central ideological location or managerial location is counter to that which makes you feel secure as a person in this environment. Really? I think the internet today really stinks all over the world. I don't know what to do about it, but I'll try that again. The idea to create such a association ideologically or managerially from some centralized authority or personality is counter to that which makes all of us feel secure in this environment that we're now in. And therefore, my only suggestion so far, and of course this is a work in progress and everything changes, everything. There's nothing remains the same. So my only suggestion is that people who are inspired to do so can get together and magnify their association and magnify their social relationships in whatever way they want. And they can associate with or be part of any function anywhere by using the principle of freely floating in and freely floating out without being entangled in the ideology of others. I don't really have much more to say about this, so I know the bad. It's internet bad. I can't do anything about it. It's totally out of my control. Don't even bother telling me about it. I can see it now even on my own screen. This connection stinks. But I'd like to open this to discussion. I really want to hear your opinions about this. I want to know what you think and what you feel about this. It's important to me. And of course, instant messaging is there for you. And if you're in one of these screens that are before me, you can always speak to me directly. I want your feedback. No, I want feedback about this. I want feedback about society. I want to know what you think about it. I want to know what you think about what I said. It's very important to me.
People here says, they all say that got so much of this society that they hardly can digest it till now. So the only form of association is they are free to just come along and associate as friends without any complications.
Okay, so you like this idea that I gave that you just float in and out of associations at your total will?
Yes, without defining yourself as part of any particular society or stuff like this.
Okay, good. Anyone else?
Every time we meet here, we have after this, we have it in our kitchen, then we have it, and sometimes we also have another kind of meditations, or we have regression to past lives, things like this. We share our experiences. Seems to be very deep level of meditation as we.
That sounds like fun.
Actually, unfortunately, I didn't listen all the what you said because it was some calls to telephone. I was speaking some parts. But in general, the idea that it must be some kind of society, it is natural because even without the idea, we are anyway trying to associate with people who are and have some same inclinations. And the idea that to be free is, I think, one of the most important parts of this society idea. Otherwise, this society can become some kind of hindrance for spirituality.
The idea is that people were more interested in the concept of floating in and out of groups, floating in and out of associations, coming to the temple when they want, leaving when they want, doing what they want. In that way, they feel secure. So what do you think of that, Kamalamala?
It is a great idea, actually. Without that, I think the real evolution of spirituality.
Another person is telling me by instant messages that he feels that people don't want any more structures and that there's a lot of confusion. Yeah, I would agree with that. Thank you for the feedback. What's the feedback from there in St. Petersburg, Mahashaya?
The feedback is that it's very good.
What is the it?
Such society when people can come and go when they want, when there is no obligation.
What about other things I said?
Some people like Abhita, they don't want any society anymore.
Well, you can't avoid society. Society has to be, it's the form of the society, I suppose, you're worrying about.
You already have some options here, like Kamalamala is forming one society in the temple, Sannyasa is forming another. One having taxation, another doesn't have. There are always people who try to make it in some structure, to organize it in some way.
It's very hard to remain neutral and friends with everybody. It's a real art. And here in Argentina, their feedback is they feel in the kirtan one loses their individuality. They feel the unity between all people, and it's so ecstatic when there's no different philosophies in the way. It's nice to meet different people, and they had a really good time yesterday. Yeah. And another comment is that he feels that we need another kind of communion, also perhaps from Argentina, need another kind of communion or another way to associate, another way to, another kind of a way to meet heart to heart. And now I've got another interesting question, which is directly related to something we spoke about. So I don't think it's really such a question. It's a good comment, so I'll read it. When you spoke about a person waking up and beginning to reevaluate everything around and within them, some of us really felt it was about them. But is this kind of perception not useful for the development of awareness? Doesn't it make you see things that you don't usually notice? Well, absolutely. That, I mean, I think that's a great comment, and it's an important point that we are giving ourselves the capacity to see things that we usually don't see. But to always be in a situation of non-stop reevaluation makes it very, very difficult to build anything of value, to build a prosperous, flowing life, because you get stuck at every point because you're always having to reevaluate. At one point you should see and move on, isn't it? I mean, don't at one point you need a little peace? I think so anyway. Although here now we're talking about that, what we've discussed in the High Media Net forums, uncertainty and existential crisis. These are situations which basically keep us honest. And in relation to what Gandhara is talking about in Argentina, I would say that dealing with this existential crisis, dealing with this uncertainty, which makes us question, does unite us. That is a uniting principle. The fact that we are allowing ourselves to think and examine is a uniting principle. It's a very interesting point, and I think that I don't have answers in the sense that I can say, you know, this is what we should do. But I think it's good that we all have a chance to talk about it. We have a chance to think about it. We have a chance to examine our lives. We have the freedom to do it. And that there's nobody saying, well, that's right and that's wrong. Yeah, I guess there's not so much to talk about, not so much feedback to do, to expect. And it's a pretty... The question may be, do you like to have relationship with people that you knew before in whatever groups? Sure I do, some of them. Some of them not. I mean, but I also don't want to get entangled with anybody. But Vajra is saying here that she doesn't like society, but the idea that people sometimes can get together and do things, especially spiritual things, is great. For example, when everybody getting together to hear something like me. So that's sure, of course, it's wonderful to get together now. And after all, that's just normal society. In normal society, people just get together, they have a party, they have a get-together, they drink tea together, they have groups where they do the same things together, you know, like astrologers get together, musicians get together, and teachers get together, and people play sports together. They do things together. It's just a great thing. And you can also get together and do something for the deities, or have some chanting together, or eat together, or just have a party together, or do whatever you want. That's the best way to live. I was going to just quit a little earlier today if there's not any more real feedback here. Oh, here comes something, because I'm tired. I admit it. Here's a question. Maybe when someone can offer his professional help to other members of this etheric society, then it makes more done to earth. Yes, people can offer their professional help to others in whatever way is beneficial. And that certainly helps the world. It helps the whole etheric community of man, for sure. Here's an interesting comment. If there's no specific philosophy, how do you understand What are the parameters to understand what is right and what is wrong? Well, I mean, you know, even you have feeling of what is right and what is wrong. You know what is a good thing to do and a worse thing to do. As a person, you have your personal feelings. You're not a stone. You know what it's like to feel pain. You don't want to cause pain to others. You know what it's like to cheat, to be cheated. You don't want to cheat others. These things are just common factors of your life. And but the problem would be, how do you transmit such a system of non-system to children? How does a society sustain itself? How does it go on when it doesn't have a means to regulate the activities? Well, that's not such a significant question in that sense, because first of all, every society that we live in has laws. There are the laws of the country. There are also laws within your family. Every parent knows that you have to regulate what the children do. You can't just let them do whatever they want. So when you are regulating what children do and you are helping them grow, you are instilling within them, whether you know it or not or like it or not, moral and social codes of action which they can use for the rest of their lives, or maybe don't want to, but they're stuck to it. And these philosophical kind of structures, which sometimes seem to be moral structures, are there implicit in every society. You know, the way people feel, the way people think about other people, the way people interrelate with people. This is just built into every society and into every family, basically speaking. But the way I see it is, the better the people are who raise children, the better the children will be. That's the major factor, higher than and more important than the idea of, you know, teaching them something. That's a philosophy. I have here a letter, a comment from Moscow. I'll edit it because they've asked me, because they say they're just writing fast. They're speaking about the Ten Commandments as a basis of religion. And if you think about it, this is kind of obvious. Don't kill people. Don't steal from others. Don't rape your neighbor's wife. Love your parents. And so on. This is not rocket science spiritually. This is just common sense. So it seems that people are much more evolved these days than they were in those days. And naturally, of course, this is one of the basic problems that we've been facing, is that when a culture or a system is so old that many of the aspects of it which relate to economy or social interaction or even people is very much out of date and has to be brought up to the speed and context of the modern society. Yet at the same time, the essence of that, the culture of that, the spirituality of that, is something which is just great. Maybe his question was, is that what God wants? That's a very interesting question, and I can't answer it, even if I thought I could. God would have to speak for himself, and perhaps he does. Or is that what God wants from us? Well, you know that we do things like this. So I think that you can say like this, that there's been so much talk, but when you look at the action, when you look at the practical manifestation of the talk, you see what really organically is happening. So one should rather, instead of look at the talk, look at the action, and from the action move forward, not from the talk. Somebody is giving me a feedback that says, I think this broadcast is some form of a society. Personally, I am very glad to see the same people in St. Petersburg when I am there. And I am very much against when they go away. I personally can't contact with new people there. The broadcast is some form of society. What? No. I'm just reading it. I'm just asking for your feedback, you know. I'm with you wherever you are here. I'll read your letters to the world. I think that me personally, I would. It's a fact. This broadcast is a form of a society. It's kind of like our Saturday little tea group. In some cases, it's the Saturday pizza group. Usually in Argentina, they bring out boxes of pizzas. Somebody in the middle goes out, and then by the time of the questions, they come back with a couple of boxes of pizzas, and they sit there and stuff their faces. And we have another comment here. Association, oh, this is interesting. Association with people is a part of association with God. And that is why it is blissful. And that's why people try to make societies. Sure. Good point. Real good point. Here comes.
In Denmark nowadays, we have meetings on Tuesday. It's a comment from Anatoly. And these meetings are about forming some society around some spiritual principles.
Okay. If you can do that in a local level, fantastic. That's great. And then another comment is that in this broadcasting society, we don't need to have physical contact for our broadcasting society to exist. And here is another comment. When you bring God into our society, then it makes our association more deep than ever. Yes, that's right. That's a very, very good comment. That just being together with people, okay, that's nice. But when you have like Radha and Krishna or Gaurinathai or God as the center of that association, then it really deepens that association. That's a very good comment. This is a very interesting question. What is society in God's society? Now that could mean in the society of God, meaning wherever God is, or a godly society. So can you please clarify that? Okay, so this question is even more wild and far out. What is society in the society of the realm of God? Well, of course, you know, you can, without even having to refer to any literatures, you can know for sure that in a social arrangement around where God lives is based on all these principles of freedom and integrity, yet is just flowing in love and excitement and energy of enthusiastic interactions. And there's play and there's seriousness and there's peace and there's excitement. I'm sure you will see the whole gamut of interrelationships. That's just practically by definition, that in whatever way there can be an increase of relationship, an increase of sharing of the spiritual soul energy, the sharing of that energy of what makes us what we are, in all ways that will be amplified in the kingdom of God, if I can use such an archaic phrase. Now, this is a very important thing, this kind of association, to have this contact on all levels. I mean, I'm getting another comment here that, well, maybe we don't need to have physical contact between each other, bodily contact on a gross level if you have an etheric society. Yeah, but that could also be, this is me speaking now, this can also be very intellectual. This can be something of the mind. You lose the heart in that way. You lose the connection between people that way. I think it's important for people to have contact with each other. It's important that, at least in some familial setting and friendship setting, that there is that connection. It's important. People need it. And then we have this idea, what are the ways to bring their lordships into our association? What are the different ways to do that, amplify that as best as possible? Interesting. And the answer may also be a little bit esoteric in the sense that if you are in connection with them and you associate with others, then in that new association they will be present because you are connected with them. You know, that's the way in which we relate, through communication, through interactions. And when our part of that interaction is connected with the divine, then divine energy must flow in that interaction. that's just by definition, because we're talking about energy and energy flows. Where the energy flows between the divine and yourself, it will flow to others. It's not like you can hide that. You can block it, you can distort it, you can filter it, you can color it if you want. But if you're just trying to remain connected and relate with others, it'll work. You'll have that opportunity to do so under normal circumstances.